Welcome, everyone, to the joint venture between ERA and SalesWise. Today's topic is recruiting future leaders, where to find them, how to interest them, and how to motivate them. Hi, it's Nikki Weiss from SalesWise. And today's call is about finding future leaders, not just for a current opening that you have, but long-term. How do you see who can lead your organization? And what we're going to cover in today's call is the process of where do you find them, how do you train and motivate them, and how do you keep them? So, Steph, you want to open up?
Sure. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to ERA's December Teleforum. Our facilitator today, as always, is Nikki Weiss of SalesWise in Toronto, and she is ERA's sales consultant and columnist in The Representer. She's a professional sales and leadership coach and trainer who has worked with thousands of reps, manufacturers, and distributors in our industry. We are delighted to have two co-facilitators today, and I will have them both introduce themselves. Sean, go ahead and take it away.
Hello, my name is Sean Sisson, and I'm with Routronic Incorporated, and I've been in electronic distribution for about 30 years now.
Great, thank you, Sean. Toby?
Hello, I'm Toby Cornell, and I'm with Cruvand Associates. I'm the Vice President of Distribution with Cruvand, and I've been in the industry for about 25 years.
Great, thank you, Toby. During the teleforum, if you have any questions or comments, please email those to me at stierney@era.org. That's stierney@era.org. We encourage lots of questions and comments, so please do not be shy at any point. Our presenters will stop intermittently during their conversations to ask for your feedback as well. If your question or comment is not answered during the hour, you will receive a response by email afterward. Nikki, please proceed.
Okay, so welcome to those of you who it's your first teleform. We are so happy to have you on the call. And to those of you that have been on numbers of teleforms, welcome back. And like Stephanie said, the purpose is to have an interactive conversation, and you're all on mute. So as soon as you think of a question or as soon as you can share a best practice or something that has worked for you, please email Stephanie and she'll let me know and we'll pause the conversation, get your question in there, and have our experts answer it. Also, I know everybody's busy and you're all on mute, so it's hard to be very present. And I would ask you, please be present. Give yourself the hour of learning. Take notes, email us, turn away from distractions, whatever it takes for you to be fully present. So we have a great conversation going on today. And this call is about finding future leaders rather than someone to just hire for a current position. So it means looking down the road a bit to determine not only the upcoming positions that you've got going on or have, but the leadership requirements and skills your organization will need. So, Toby, let me start with you. What do you do now to figure out the future skills, the future leadership requirements?
I would think, and I know, we've kind of talked about finding the right person for your organization. And it might be somebody that's already within your organization that you can help cultivate and grow them, throughout their career internally and, move forward them within the leadership. But it's going outside the organization. Sometimes you have to start a little bit earlier on and find a personality trait or a characteristic or a passion within somebody that you're interviewing that, you want to start them within the company and grow them up that way. So it really depends on how soon you need a leader. And, then you can look for that person and maybe start them in a position that isn't automatically a leadership role, but you can try them out in that role and kind of see where they go from there and move into leadership after that.
And you're from Cruvand. How do you figure out what are those future qualities that you're looking for?
One of the main things that we're always looking to do right now is to find our next generation employees. We're trying to get out there through either LinkedIn or working through universities and, social media to find people outside of our industry to bring in because it's not a surprise to anybody, but our industry is sort of aging, and we want to find people that we can bring in either from outside or directly from universities to give a fresh perspective and fresh ideas to the company. So that's really something that we're looking to grow, is to find the next person to come up through there with different ideas than we have seen every day since we've all been doing this for so long.
And that's great. You know, new people are the lifeblood of anything. In terms of skills, and I know it's like hard to have a crystal ball, but what are some of the skills or the qualities your organization will need in the future that you're looking for now?
Well, we definitely want people who are dedicated, who are hardworking, have a passion for the people that they work with and the people that they work for. And that's not necessarily something you're going to tell by the first time you meet somebody. Sometimes it is, but usually it's not. You need to see them in a working environment and how they go about their day. And, we want somebody who has all of those characteristics, someone who's honest, who works hard and really fits in with the culture, especially at our company. It's smaller, so we really are like a family, so we want to really encourage that personable side of things. But somebody, who people respect also in the organization is really important.
Mm-hmm. So nothing that you've mentioned are technical skills, like current experience.
Well, yeah, it depends. It really depends on what you're looking for. So, if you're looking for somebody that's going to be an engineering type of salesperson, then yes, you would definitely need technical skills. But, for a leadership position, you don't always have to have a technical background to become a good leader.
That's true. Toby, thank you. So, Sean, let's go over to you. What do you and your company do now, and you're in distribution, to figure out the kinds of qualities and skills you'll need down the road?
Sure. Certainly, today's environment is extremely difficult in the distribution world, where it seems to be the average age of our employees seems to get older and older, right? So the future of our existence and distribution needs to be from the youth. And so what we're doing is we're doing college recruiting. We are recruiting at certain universities that specialize in, in industrial management. Some of those universities are Texas A&M University, Clarkson University, just some really good ones around the country. And so as far as sales and leadership ability, we look to those universities. And then in regards to technical resources, we're looking more towards the technical universities where the folks that are going there are specializing in technology, right? Some type of engineering, whether that be electrical or mechanical or whatever that may be. So we're looking at those universities for talent. And what we do there is we then, once we do that is we hopefully find the right individuals. We try and speak to the student body initially, let them know what our company is about, so there's interest there. And then we run an interviewing process to try and figure out who we'd like to bring into the organization. And once we make a decision to do so and there's interest on both sides, we'll send those folks to our corporate headquarters where we're originated out of in Germany. And our engineering folks actually spend 90 to 120 days there, and sales is typically around 30 days.
So it sounds, Sean, like you and your company primarily target university students or university grads. How do you get in front of them?
I think as far as youth goes, that is certainly the case. We're also looking at other industries. We're using recruiting firms, recruiters, I think a big part of I think Toby mentioned it, depends on what you're looking for today, right? Will determine what course of action you take. And so if I need someone today for a leadership position, I'm certainly not going to a university. Those are the future leaders of our company. Today, we're actually looking internally and externally. So internally inside our industry and externally with different types of organizations that may have some kind of synergy with what we do in terms of technology, right? We're looking at technology companies for those positions.
Mm-hmm. So, Sean, when we were getting ready for this call and our planning call, you talked about going to career fairs. Can you just talk about what you do for recruiting around career fairs at universities and colleges?
So typically, a lot of universities will have career fairs, right? And what we've done is we've tried to get involved with these universities where we can have an hour of time or, a block of time the day before the career fair to speak with the student body that may have interest in our industry or jobs in general, believe it or not. And we present not only the organization that I represent, we present the entire industry in which we live in today, right? And what that means and what we try and present to these folks is the excitement of that, the fact that it's an industry that's ever-changing, it's not stagnant. It challenges you to continually learn your craft and hone your craft and your skill sets. And so, obviously there is interest for a lot of folks that want to be challenged constantly, right? They don't want to be doing the same thing every single day, and they want to be have the opportunity to be creative and learn new things. So, and I think our industry certainly presents that if proposed properly to potential candidates.
Thanks. And Toby, over to you. You are looking for people with fresh perspectives and ideas. Where, as a manufacturer's rep, do you go looking for future leaders?
Well, kind of along the same lines, universities, as Sean has already mentioned, and going through LinkedIn has been very helpful for us. Another thing that I would want to mention, for example, they're at EDS, they've had this host program for several years where individuals like the manufacturers and the reps and the distributors will all get to partner with a student, and they get to shadow, the student will shadow, like me, for example, throughout the whole day, and you get two different ones. One of the people that I met was going to TCU here locally in Dallas. And so we exchanged information, and I've been in touch with her ever since then. She was a sophomore at the time, and she's already hooked me up with the recruiter person at TCU that can help us, reconnect with a lot of people that are graduating. She's already found a job. But examples like that of connecting at an EDS event, you never know who you're going to be paired with that can help you find additional routes to, to future leaders, future employees. So I think that's been a really unique example for us too.
Yeah. And has she or other young people helped you to spread the word when you're looking?
Yes.
How do you work with them even though they're not working for you?
No, that's been kind of done just on a personal basis. So she would spread the word for us, with people that she knows. And we also have other younger employees that work at Crewvand who, if they know of we know a position that's open, and we would ask them, hey, can you share with people And a lot of times they do. So they do know people, who would be interested in positions either within our own company or, if we're trying to help somebody else fill a job. So, and it's not that we're not talking to people who are already in the industry, just bringing some people in with new perspective is I think a good idea. And like Sean said, this industry is is a lot of fun because it's not the same every day. That's one of my favorite things about it, actually, is something is always changing, something's always happening. You know, the dynamic that you're working on today may not be the same tomorrow. So that's one of my favorite things about it.
So let's pause for a sec. Both of you have just said a lot of things. I'm going to go over to Steph. Steph, any questions?
Yes, I have a question. How do you train the new employees to acclimate them into your company's DNA?
Mm. Toby, let's start with you.
Well, as I'd already mentioned, our company is a really close-knit family kind of organization. So, you know, we're loving when people come and join us. As far as technically training, you know, we have a separate program for that. But, you know, bringing them in, accepting them, also, you know, trying to find out what that person, what their true strengths are, and then you can, you know, cultivate that person based on their strengths, really, you know, help them to achieve their very best based on what they're already good at. And that's the best way to really encourage somebody to stick around with your company, to really feel like they're making a difference with your company, just to by cultivating a strength that they already possess.
And Toby, say a little more about understanding their strengths. Is there an assessment that you use? How do people do it?
We have done that in the past, used different formal assessments, and there are several different types out there. Sometimes that is a correct type of assessment, and sometimes it's not. I think the best way is to just be working with that person and see how they operate on, you know, on all fronts. Are they, you know, excellent on the phone and email, but maybe shyer in person, or, you know, just those types of things. You know, what do they operate? Are they extremely detail-oriented or not so much? So, you know, those are things that you can't get from a test. And a lot of times some of the personality type tests may fluctuate based on what that person might be going through personally at the time. So sometimes those things are helpful and sometimes they're not. So we've kind of done it both ways before.
Yeah. An assessment that I use with all our clients is from the Gallup organization called Clifton Strengths Finder. And the Gallup organization is the biggest polling and research company maybe on the planet. And they research work and employee engagement. And they have come up with a very inexpensive assessment tool online called Strengths Finder. And when you take it, I think it's like a 20-minute assessment, and then you immediately get your top 5 strengths, and then you get all 34 strengths. And people love it because often they don't have words for what they're good at. And it's not about technical ability but it's about the domains of leadership, executing, relationship building, strategic thinking, and influencing. And it's very helpful to know where people are coming from and to help them bring their strengths to work every day. And I think what you pointed to is that's how you keep people engaged and motivated, is if they're working from strengths and you can help them talk about it more and then they can say to you, you know, I'm interested in this because.
Yeah. I mean, if you're pushing somebody to do something every day that they're not as comfortable doing, that's not going to make them their best employee, as in the best self and the best employee for you. So I think it's important to really help them be their best self by using things that they're already excellent at.
Yeah, thanks. So Sean, over to you. The question, how do you train? And I'd like to sort of focus on leadership, because that's what we're talking about, is how do you get people trained on how to lead well?
Sure. If it's somebody that's already in a leadership role and we're hiring from another industry or maybe in our industry, then it's, we've probably defined that person as a leader already based on the knowledge we have of these people, right? And then the training process takes place internally, and we certainly have a formalized training program. If it's if it's a newer individual, then I believe that you know, one of the things that we do, and it's my belief really, is what I try and do with the new folks that I bring into the organization is we give our employees not only their daily job function, but we'll give them special projects to work on that could help them better enhance their skill set. And some of those things could be along the lines of some leadership with a specific program, you know, being a team leader, you know, on a specific project, things like that help people to cultivate some of the, you know, required skills for being a leader. And then, you know, we analyze and do an analysis of that throughout the process, right? How are they working within these groups? And, you know, certainly the managers that myself or others that are on staff will sit in and evaluate, you know, these meetings that take place or these sessions that take place, right? And how the folks are working, and then try to provide some coaching and mentoring along those lines, right? That could help them, you know, improve some of those skills that are required, right? So,
Sean, what I'm hearing you say is that many of the leaders in your organizations, you didn't say this, see it as their job to develop people. So not just the tactical stuff, but the development.
Most definitely. I feel that way personally. It's my job, and I believe the company I represent today feels that as well. That it's part of our job as leaders to cultivate leaders within our organization. I should have a succession plan in place for every management position that's in my organization. And so what does that succession plan look like, right? You choose some of those individuals that are either interested in leadership, and you base that on how do they perform today and some of the attributes that I believe, you know, leaders need, and so should they fit into the program. And then they should be working alongside and getting special projects, right, in those areas of where they think they want to be a leader. So, yeah, we certainly have a succession plan. Certainly there's one for mm-hmm. me. There's one for our, you know, in product marketing. There's one, you know, for sales management. And you know, we try and form a list of who those people are. And mainly that's an inside function today. It's hard to do that externally because it requires time from people, right, where they may not have that time, and it requires them to know more about maybe your organization than they need to or should have mm-hmm. to. So,
yeah. Okay, thanks. And, Toby, I'm curious. You know, manufacturers reps are typically smaller than distributors, and you wear a lot of hats, and they're very busy places, and a lot of people, most people sell. What is your role or your mindset around developing future leaders? Because it takes time, it takes the value of doing it, it takes the skill of doing it. It's not just, oh, yeah, I do it once and I'm done. Like, what is the process in your company?
So, like you said, we are, you know, a smaller organization. We're also very unique in the way we're structured, where most of the people that come to work at Crewband stay at Crewband. And I think that's a wonderful thing, especially in a rep organization. So, you know, we're with each other a lot, you know, more than we're with our own family. you get to really mm-hmm. learn a lot about each person that you're working with and kind of how they are and what their passions are and what they, you know, want to do into the future. And then, you know, the management will discuss, you know, different people and what their characteristics are, and would they be a good fit to, you know, succeed someone if they chose to leave, and, you know, that kind of thing. So those discussions are had, and, you know, the majority of the time, you know, we're talking about, you know, people coming on board and kind of growing them into, like, you know, senior roles as the time allows itself. But we don't have, you know, a whole lot of departure either. So we would be leading a lot of times with people who are, you know, within the company already. So, you know, this year has been really unique in that we've hired more people. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Great. But it sounds like the leaders in Crewven actually hit the pause button and take the time to look across the bow, look at all the people, and how, where they could be best using their strengths and talking about their career path. Is that, did I just make that up, or is that what you do?
No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are having those conversations about, you know, what someone's strengths are and, you know, how are they performing, and, you know, kind of a, just an internal discussion on, you know, where are they headed, and, you know, who might we move if we need to move them. And, you know, so those kinds of discussions are, you know, are definitely always happening.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So let's pause a sec. Over to you, Steph. Any questions?
Yes. This next one is, how do you motivate your future leaders and keep them from being bored?
Toby, how about you?
Motivation. So my thoughts really are is that each person is really motivated differently. Not everybody is motivated by the same things. And somebody may be motivated only by money. Some people may be motivated by something as simple as a kind email or an email to that person thanking them and copying the whole company. That, you know, that inspires somebody to do even better because they did a good job and were recognized. People want to, you know, feel like they're making a difference. So I think that kind of thing is definitely motivational. You know, also some people are just motivated strictly by pure passion, even in what they have. So, you know, if you give them something to sink their teeth into, something exciting to work on, that is motivational to them. So really, I think the key is to really listen to each person, you know, whether they're, you know, customer service, inside sales, outside sales, whatever their position is, what drives them, what makes them tick, and use that to help push them along.
And so people don't often, so you talked about making a difference, that that's a motivator. And I think that being on purpose and making a difference is what human beings yearn for. And it's not always easy to see on yourself. How do you help people see that they're making a difference?
Oh, that's a really good point, because sometimes you don't know yourself what your strengths are. So, you know, that's a good thing to talk with your coworkers about or management about, or, you know, to so you can kind of say, what do you think my strengths are? It's an interesting conversation to have, and, you know, kind of sharing that with somebody else. This is what I think your strengths are. What do you think about that? So I think that'd be a really good conversation to have with each person. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks. Over to you, Sean. How do you motivate future leaders and keep them from being bored?
Well, I think you need to, you know, allow them, you know, some autonomy. You need to make sure that, you know, if I have another, you know, if I have a leader that's working for me in other areas, right, I'm asking for input. I'm accessing the interest that they have in staff, in, you know, providing them productive and challenging work. You know, I think, you know, motivation is a funny thing, right? Because like Toby said, everybody's motivated by something a little bit differently. I will tell you, I don't think that salary is the ultimate motivator, personally. Although it is important, I don't want to minimize that. But you may build, you know, self-employee self-esteem through recognition, rewards, or giving, you know, employees new responsibilities to increase their investment into the company. I think it's important that people feel like they belong to something. And I think, I kind of use this thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but I'm sure you have. It's called, Maslow's hierarchy, right? So I think once people feel like they belong to something and they're a part of something, they certainly become more vested into the common good of the organization, the team. And I think that's a motivational thing for people to feel that. So it's important to create that environment at that level.
And that's a leader's job, right? A leader's job is to cultivate an environment of belonging. It's a big deal. Like Gallup, they have an engagement survey with 12 simple questions, and one of them is something like, do you feel like you belong? Does your manager care about you? Do you have a best friend at work? Because all these things make a difference. And how do you pay attention to making sure people belong? What do you do?
Well, I think it's important that they, again, right, they have the ability to be creative in their their job, specific job. They're also brought in for their knowledge or their opinions on things that could help benefit the company. One of the things that I try and do personally is I try and get, I may try and get folks involved in special programs or special projects within the organization that not only one can help their skill set, but it gives them a sense of providing value to the organization, the team. And I think that can be extremely motivating for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks. You also talked when we were getting ready about rewards and whether rewards motivate or whether they backfire. And what is your take on that?
It's a little bit of both, to be honest with you. And I think that, again, right, it's not just money. So it could be awards. Some people are motivated by awards. So I think what's important is to have more than one way to motivate people or motivate the individuals within your organization. I think you need to have a toolbox that could be motivational for some and not for others. And so, some people are motivated by money. Some people are motivated by by recognition. And that recognition doesn't need to be in the form of a plaque. Some people are motivated by being chosen to be on a special project, right? And so there's a lot of ways that you can motivate people, right? And in employees and, in giving them new responsibilities to increase their investment in the company, I think is very motivating for people. Leaders must, in my opinion, leaders have to learn what motivators, right, work best for their employees or their team members, right, to encourage the productivity and passion. Skills are related, directly to motivation. I believe, skills related to effective motivation, right, include, like I said, asking for input, interest in the staff, having them mentor. Maybe you have one of your employees mentor a new employee, right? That can be very motivational.
As well as expanding leadership capacity.
Sure. And thank you. You said it for me, because that also adds to the coaching that needs to take place for them to become a future leader, right? If they're the ones that are mentoring, maybe I have a salesperson that I ask to, you know, train the new person that comes in the building, right? And mm-hmm. you know, certainly we have a formalized process that we have, but we also what I'll do is I'll also assign sometimes an individual to another individual, right? Hey, you're responsible to make sure so-and-so truly understands the systems or the products or the technique of professional selling or the technical resources that are required for an FAE or with a certain manufacturer and team building, right? You need to do team building events. I think those are very motivational. Things I've done in the past, and, you know, I can tell a story here. One of the things that I would always do, I don't do it today because the company I work for doesn't buy into that, but I have in the past. And so I think team building is extremely important, for motivation, right? And I think if you sit back as a leader and you watch your team engage outside of the work environment, you can learn a lot about the employees that you have on your team. And so I would do things like, a company picnic, right, or a division picnic, and I would hold it at my house in the backyard, or we'd rent out a venue somewhere, and you play games, right? You have competitive games, you have fun games, and one of the other things I would do, because I think this is extremely important to retention of your employees, you need to bring value to your employees personally and professionally. And so what I mean by that, and I also believe the same thing with your customers and people you deal with daily, because value personally and professionally to me is two things. I think they coincide with each other. And so I talk about, an event, team building thing. Well, those team building events aren't just the employees. They're the employees' entire family. It's their wives, their spouses, where, husbands, wives, children, right? And we get to interact and know each other and have fun with each other. And I think Toby mentioned it, and in her smaller in a smaller organization, it's probably a little easier to conduct yourself as a family. In a larger organization, it gets much more difficult and costly. But I believe the cost can certainly outweigh, the benefits that come from that if it's done properly. So hopefully I didn't ramble on too much about that.
Really shared a lot of good information. Let's pause again for a sec. Steph, give people your email address so that they can write us their questions or their best practices. And then do we have any other questions?
We do. And yes, please shoot any comments, questions, anything my way. It is stierney@era.org. That is stierney@era.org. So the question here is, how do you prevent your leaders from becoming other people's leaders?
Okay, over to you, Toby.
Well, I think the right environment if you've got the right environment at your company, and that person feels like they have room to express themselves, that they can talk to you, that they can talk to management about questions, concerns, things that they might want to discuss. If they feel that they have the opportunity to continuously grow there, they're being paid fairly, they feel like they are inspired every day, they want to go to work, I don't think that person is going to want to leave. And I think that's the key, is you've got to, aside from locking the door or chaining them to their desk, you got to find a way to make sure that they don't want to leave and they don't want to look outside your organization. And somebody who does make that leap, You know, you would wish them the very best, and maybe they weren't the right fit for someone who wants to stay.
So, Toby, you're a sales organization, right?
Yes.
Where is the ability to grow?
That's a very good question. So it depends on what you mean by grow. If you mean like take on different responsibilities, increase your account activity level, grow in, that sort of thing within the organization, the different jobs that you're doing, that's one thing. If you're talking about moving up, always moving up to, sales manager or to president, that is a little different than it would be at a larger organization. We don't have a lot, like I've already said, a lot of people going in and out of the company. So it's not like at a distributor or at a manufacturer where a regional sales manager disappears so someone can move into that position. And we don't see a lot of that. So the ability to grow, at a smaller sales organization would be to, we reshuffle accounts. The way that we're structured financially, we can move accounts around, which helps give new perspectives at times if it's needed. Somebody may be like, I can't break into this account. Why don't we give so-and-so a look at it? So we have that ability to move that way. So it's more, it would be a more of a personal growth and, and financial growth, but not in the way you might be thinking of status or title.
Yeah, and so I think it could be a challenge in sales, where an organization's flat. There's not a lot of places to get a different title. And there's a lot of opportunities to do bigger, better, new. Do your people speak at conferences or write articles, thought leadership articles? That's one way to grow as a leader, so that you go beyond your individual accounts.
We don't, we've done like at conferences, for example, like some of us have been part of panels that have been like at the ERA conference or, ECIA conference. We've been on part of a panel before. I don't know that any of us have done, speeches on our own, but we've done it as part of a panel before several different times. We also, you can get further education like through CPMR. That's always an opportunity for people. Our newest employee that's been on board almost a year now, was straight out of college. He participated in Spark and Spark 2.0, so that was another way to kind of, cultivate him and give him an opportunity to grow. So there's those kinds of things too.
And that's great. And what are some of the leadership opportunities? They're probably more in terms of projects for salespeople.
I'm not quite sure how to answer that, but I would say that, as a sales organization, the outside, and at least within ours, the outside and the inside sales are a team, and they can kind of work together to, to penetrate an account with across all of our product lines. So that's kind of, what personal, credibility you're getting. That's what your job is to do, is to grow all of your lines in one specific account. So that's kind of the different projects that you would be assigned, if you want to call it a project. But, we would also, if we have a sales meeting, we'll work together to, work on that, what's going to be presented and that kinds of things. EDS is a project. That's a big project. And there's a lot of things that go behind that you're in charge of. So there's things like that, depending on, what your position and function is within the organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And Steph, over to you.
Yes, we just received a comment. It says, a rep motivates by making the salespeople feel as an equal on the team and full vote on decisions.
Ah, okay. Another good comment.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Good comment. Good comment. And, sure.
Yeah. Right, feeling like you have a voice. That you're not just somebody who doesn't add value, but your voice is important. And Sean, the question about how do you make sure that you retain your future leaders so that they don't become somebody else's future leaders?
Yeah, and I think that comes down to environment, right? And I talked about belonging. I think that's important. But I think the environment in which you create has a lot to do with retention. So, you know, having a positive attitude as you as the leader, right, the current leadership in the office or externally outside the office, if they're field managers, I think you need to be able to laugh at yourself a little bit. You know, don't be so serious. Even though we all have you know, a serious task at hand. You just need to create a happy, healthy work environment. You know, even during busy and stressful periods. And I think if you lack that ability, the stress of an organization or the stress of your specific function will drive people away from your organization for sure. And I also think that retention, right, little things, I think there's a lot of little things you can do for retention. I talked about belonging, and I believe that for sure, you know, and giving people, making, you know, I think the individual who just made the comment, right, everybody has a voice. Everybody should, you should want input from all your employees. I certainly don't have the answer to everything. I don't have the answer to 50% of everything. So, I mean, I love when I have an employee that, you know, wants to give me an idea or some feedback. As long as it's constructive, professional, positive, you know, it doesn't always have to be positive feedback. But I believe when you give negative feedback, you should have a solution for what could make it positive. I think employees need to feel like they work in a positive work environment, right? They'll be more likely to want to be at work and therefore be more willing to put in long hours and stay with that company. Do you care? I mean, I can go on and on, right? I mean, you know, caring about them and things. Hey, you know, they're simple things like, you know, asking an employee about their vacation plans. Where are they going? What are they doing? Right? Sometimes that can raise morale among staff and others, right? And just developing good rapport with your people, right? Having, diplomacy and, I mean, I don't know.
Okay, you again have added a lot of good ideas. So there's a lot of things I'm sure that people are already doing to retain and motivate and grow. I want to go, Toby, something I've been thinking about is when you are canvassing and recruiting and looking for future leaders, I'm guessing a lot of them have never heard of the field of manufacturer's reps. How do you get somebody interested in you?
I think the best way to, if they don't understand the industry at all, then you definitely have to kind of, you know, go through, okay, this is what manufacturer does and a rep and this distributor, and kind of break it down the three-legged stool or the triangle of business that we are and how we all work together and interact. Even at that host program that I was talking about at EDS, a lot of those students, even though some of them had come from, you know, like some of the technical schools or the technical programs within the school, they didn't really even understand the differences. So making sure they understand that, first of all, and then, you know, how, if you're a rep, you know, how your organization is different from other rep organizations is really key. And making sure they understand your value, it would just be like any other type of company, letting them know how yours is different and not just like a different type of rep company. Also talking with a young person about, you know, getting the chance to see people make things, the new technologies that are out there, the Internet of Things, military applications. You get to utilize and see those kinds of things and work within it and help somebody, you know, solve the problem. So kind of getting them excited about the technology side. And I'll tell you, too, another thing. So the STEM programs in school that are really have a big focus right now, the FIRST Robotics League, you know, those are really helping those students get interested in electronics in general. And then those are the types of students that you want to kind of cultivate and pull from as they get older.
Mm-hmm. So we've talked about a lot of things. We've talked about where to find future leaders, how to train and motivate them, and how to retain them. Toby, what is the most challenging part for you or for your company in this topic?
As far as retaining somebody?
No, all of it, whether it's about finding them, training them, motivating them, or retaining them. What's the biggest challenge?
I would say the biggest challenge of finding, for all of us probably, in finding new talent in general is where are they? You know, where are the people that you want to find? And so, you know, looking at the different aspects of the things we always talked about, I think, you know, that's where you can find them. But actually pulling people into the industry seems to be the hardest thing. And once you get them and once they see how it goes, you know, like we've all said, once you're in this industry, you can't get out. You're either, you know, moving to a rep or you're moving to a distributor. You can't seem to escape. But it's pulling. I'm right. So, but you need to find those people to bring them in. And I think that's the biggest challenge for all of us in across the entire industry, really.
Mm-hmm. And have you had success? I mean, you talked about LinkedIn. You talked about EDS. You talked about people shadowing you and getting referrals from others. Is there a few things that have had been the most successful for you in finding people?
I would say, you know, really LinkedIn has been the most successful, and it's really funny. And I will definitely share this story. It's odd, but you know, we were looking for a field sales position, and we were putting it out there and posting it, and we weren't getting any responses. And, you know, a long time had gone by, and then we were like, you know, I'm just going to try this a different way. And I just vaguely put out there, you know, I know a company that's looking for a field position. Let me know if you're interested. And I got a ton of people asking me questions about it just because I didn't say what it was. So you never know sometimes what may work or what the timing was. Maybe it had to do with the timing. I don't know. But, you know, that kind of putting that out there where people can respond or get back to you without, you know, without feeling like everybody's watching or, you know, we haven't had success with any of like the resume type sites. That hasn't ever worked. It's mostly been word of mouth or through some of the other functions like, you know, EDS. We've met some fantastic people in the Spark program, you know, and it's been, those have kind of been the best ones, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we just have a few more minutes. Sean, what's the biggest challenge for you? Finding,
I would say,
keeping,
yeah,
training.
I think finding for sure, you know, is a challenge. I have some thoughts around that, though. And I think that, you know, I'm only going to speak for our industry. I'm not going to speak for others, but I think sometimes we look past people that maybe we shouldn't look past. And I think there are potential leaders out there that are never given the opportunity to have the chance to lead, right? Or they've worked in poor management or organizations that really haven't taken the time to understand if they have the skill set to be a leader, right? Because leaders need to have a certain set of skills, right? They need to be good communicators, motivators, right? They need to understand how to delegate. You know, some leaders, I would tell you, look at delegating as a weakness. I do not. I look at delegating as a strength in building potential future strong leaders, right? And I also believe it helps with retention. So I think that it's certainly finding the right personnel, whether it's leaders, salespeople, whatever it may be, right? My situation is certainly a little bit different, right? I'm building an organization, so I'm looking for a lot of things. And I can tell you the biggest challenge I have is finding the right people. So finding a leader, finding salespeople, it's certainly a challenge. And I think that you need to be looking for the right, what I would call the right characteristics for each position, and you need to start there. So, yeah, it's certainly finding, but I think there's a lot of really talented people in our industry today, whether they be with a rep firm, a manufacturer, or distribution in and of itself, right? I think some folks get put into they get caught maybe into a certain situation where they don't even have the ability to have the opportunity to learn, to see if they could lead, right? They're never even given that opportunity, or are they taught, or have they been assessed to see if they could be a leader, right? So I would say, my recommendation anyway, my two cents is it's really hard to know what you get from the outside. Sometimes you're better off with what you know and who you know and learning more about those individuals. I would recommend, my recommendation would be we look internally a little harder than we do today, because I do believe there's a lot of talent in our industry, and some of these folks just never get the opportunity to be developed into.
That's really interesting. Yeah. Thank you. So thank you both. We talked about a lot of things, about where to find people outside of your industry or looking internally and opening your eyes to new ways to bring out the best in others. LinkedIn, EDS host programs, college and university campuses, recruiters. There's a lot of places, and getting referrals from others. So it's about doing all of that. And then training is both on leadership and technical, and there's not enough leadership training. And there's a lot of places, including us, and I'll talk about it in a minute, where you can send people or bring them in internally to help them over their career become more masterful and compassionate and empathetic and motivating and inspiring leaders. We talked about retaining people, and many of you are probably pretty good at retaining people. It's not easy, but it sounds like the hardest part for everybody is finding them. So lean into each other. And what the electronics component industry has, and then also be willing to look further afield and in industries further afield from yours, because there just might be fantastic. There are fantastic leaders there too. It also takes time, especially when you're hiring younger people. As seasoned leaders, you need to have the value that you are developing somebody else, and so that you have to give something up in order to spend the time to develop somebody and to delegate what you're giving up. You have to have the skill. So develop the skill in yourself to develop others and to coach others and to motivate others, because it comes down to you as a leader and your attitudes in cultivating an environment of learning and leadership. So, ERA is a fantastic resource for leadership development and recruiting. In terms of leadership development, I'd like to promote my own company, the SalesWise Academy. We help build current and future leaders, and sales leaders and salespeople, so that all employees thrive. You can cultivate an environment where leaders thrive and sales teams function better than they currently do. Our program is a distance learning program. It's fantastic. We ask you to incorporate our 10-minute podcasts every 2 weeks into your existing weekly or twice-weekly sales team meetings. We provide you with the facilitation guidelines so you don't have to figure out what to do there. And you will cultivate a culture of learning, of collaboration, of skills, of being smarter, being more effective, and boosting your sales. And we have a leadership track, too, which talks about helps you become a better coach-like leader, a better tribal leader, delegating, all those things. So it's a fantastic program. So please reach out to us and see if it's a good fit for you. Stephanie, over to you.
Well, thank you, Nikki, Sean, and Toby. You all provided such great information for the members on our call today. As always, everyone who registered for this teleform will receive an email within the next few days from Nikki with the audio recording link that you can download and share with whomever you'd like. And we will, of course, place this on our teleform library at ERA.org as well. Just news of what's going on with ERA. ERA's national conference is February 23rd through 25th in Austin, Texas again. You can find registration and sponsorship opportunities at ERA.org. Thank you all again for joining us, and have a great week.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Thank you, folks.